is that we wanted, is that I suggested that one could distinguish between Lifnei Iver and Misayeya in terms of at what point do they have to occur. That Lifnei Iver can even precede the Aveira, because Lifnei Iver is basically providing the raw material with which to do the Aveira. Well, I suggested that Misayeya is only while the Aveira is being done, and I brought a raya simply with the concept of Shnayim Shahasu Malacha together, that's called Misayeya, but Rabbi Bednar showed me that it's actually a Rashi Mefurash in Gitin, and of Samach Aleph Amad Aleph, that over there, when the mission is dealing with the Yisrael Misayeya, so the language of Rashi is as follows. Lo tavur v'lo titchan ima, that if a woman is not careful in terms of Shemitah products, then her friend should not join her in terms of various malachos of producing food. L'sa'aya, mishum she'osar l'sa'aya b'yadayim yidei ovri avera, bish'asa avera. Okay? So Rashi says black and white, osar l'sa'aya bish'ata avera. It's Rashi, Samach Aleph, Amad Aleph, and Gittin on the Mishnah over there. So that's, you know, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shekivanu. Okay, so we had I felt that that's what should be, and that is the language over there of Rashi. That's one point. Second point was that we were discussing the nafkaminas between the various Yisurim and Rabbanan. My nafkamin, if we have Misayeli de Ovri Avera, or we have Afrushe Meisura, or we have Lifnei Iver, the bottom line is you get Makas Mardus. You know, it's what difference to make what Yisur Rabbanan. So he pointed out that each of these Yisurim have their own criteria. That Misayeya is dafka, for example, Bishasa Avera. Afrushe Misura is only up to the point where the fellow is going to punch you in the nose. Masha'inkein, Lechora, Misayeya would be Asr, even if he will punch you in the nose. He's still not allowed to Misayeya him. And Lifnei Iver, I suggested, it's only even a situation where this person is not a serial Avaryan. Masha'inkein, if this person is going to do this Avera 100 times, and you're helping him the 101st time, maybe there's no Lifnei Iver. There would still be an Iser of Lasayeya. There would still be Din of Lafrushe Misura. Maybe there would be no Lifnei Iver. And I brought a raya from the Ritva in Avodah Zarah. So it was pointed out to me very properly that the Ritva over there is not talking about a case of Trey Ivra the Nahara, which is a classic case of Lifnei Iver, but rather a case of Chad Ibra the Nahara. That in the case of Chad Ibra the Nahara, which is a quasi Lifnei Iver, over there, it's only if you're going to be the one who's going to create the Aveira. Mashenk, if the fellow's doing the Aveira 100 times, and you're helping the 101st time, it's not a problem. So that the Ha'ara is 100% correct. But that's what we're talking about over here. We're not talking over here in our sugya about the Lifnei Iver of Trey Iver de Nahara. We're not talking about Lifnei Iver Midoraisa. There's no Lifnei Iver Midoraisa in our sugya. We're talking about Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. In the situation of Chad Ibra de Nahara. And that's, in that case of Chad Ibra de Nahara, which is Lifnei Iver Midrabanan, that's where the Ritva says that Shema, he raises the possibility, Shema, if you're just helping him do the 101st Aveira as opposed to the 100th, maybe there's no Lifnei Iver Midrabanan in that case. Okay? In Achinam, in a Daraisa plane, when we're dealing with Trey Iver de Nahara, he couldn't have done it without you. Even if it's 101st time, you're not allowed to help him. But on the Drabanan Lifnei Iver, when were they? Takimi Drabanan and Chad Ibra de Nahara, that they extended the Lifnei Iver, that Chazal took it even without the condition of Trey Iver de Nahara, that may be only in a situation where this Avera is going to be a first-time event or an unusual event, rather than it being part of a lifestyle. Okay? So it fits into our sugya to have such a nafkamina as well. Okay, those are two ha'aras in terms of Leshi. Okay, now we move over from moving off of Lifnei Iver into a totally new topic, but of course, basically we're returning to our building, hopefully, of the Yesodos of Hilchos Yitzia B'Shabbos, where we had already discussed the nature of Hotzah as having three components, Akira, Ha'avara, and Hanacha. And we pointed out that it's still unclear to us which of those three components is the Iker and which is the Tafel, which is the Malach and which is the Tanai, or maybe they are all equal components. And we pointed out in the various Nafkaminas and the Rishonim. So we're still trying to build on the Yesod of how to define these components. So here we have it on Vaya, Boi Mine Rav, Mi Rebbe. Oren? Bavshan. Let's just read through the Gemara and then we'll explain it. Okay, and then the sugi repeats itself on Amud Beis with a different ukimta. What other ukimta do you have where the akira is where you're going to have an akira's gufo? One case is itino chavero. The other case would be itino miba odiyom. Right? We have two ukimtas. We're going to come on to an akira's gufo. So, what I'd like to do is first just get something out of the way that it simply should not. Should not confuse us as we're learning, and then get to the main point of the sugya. We have a question over here as to whether akiras gufo kakiras chayfetz or not, and the question is as to whether we compare it to yad or not, and then we're also going to see the various girsos within the Gemara. There's one Rashi over here that brings in a phrase that I think some not some achronim in a direction which I'd rather not go into. Just read the Rashi Yadol Nayach for a minute. We'll go back to the other Rashis as well. Just this one Rashi, one from the bottom. Yadol Nayach. Right. What phrase over here does Rashi use to describe the reason why we're not going to have a classic Hotza'ah by Yado? Ein derech Hotza'ah. Generally, when you see the phrase "ein derech hotzah," what association does that raise in your mind? What kind of tour is this of "ein derech"? Shinui, what we call klachar yad. Now, within the world of Shabbos, there is a din of malachas machshevas. Namely, as opposed to, let's say, retzach, where it's irrelevant if you hold the pistol in your right hand or your left hand, it's considered to be murder either way. There's no ptur of eino kedarko. Right? But in terms of Shabbos, we have this din of Melechas Machsheves, and it has seven conditions. And one of the seven conditions of Melechas Machsheves is that it has to be Kedarko. Rashi over here deals with Ein Derech Hotzah below Akira v'Hanacha. Seems to say that Akira and Hanacha are conditions of Kedarko. This is the way Hotzah is usually done. Now you realize that that's very, very different than the building we're building. We're speaking about Akira and Hanacha as being the foundation of Hotzah, not as being sort of a sideshow of Kedarko. And so Rashi over here, Ein Derech Hotzah below Akira v'Hanacha, is a very, very, very strange phrase. Yes?
Why do you say Rashi is doing that? The Akira and Hanacha are the current of Hotzah, and if you don't do it that way, it's the only other Derabban.
So, firstly, it's not true. Just to bring a proof, and then we'll see why. You know, what alternative do we have? Hotzah, had this only been a din within Shabbos, that if there's a chisaron and a kira v'hanocha on Shabbos, then it's no good. So then you could say that's a din of eino kedarko. But there are other dinim of Hotzah that we find aside from Shabbos. Let's say in terms of Pesach. In terms of Pesach, there's halacha of al yotzi mehabasar chutza. When there's a chabura eating a korban Pesach, one is not allowed to take any of the meat from the chabura out of the chabura and then return it back to the chabura. That's a din of Hotzah as well. The Gemara in Pesachim of Pehei Amud Beis points out, Amar Rabbi Ami, hamotzi basar Pesach mechabura lechabura, Eino chayav ad shianiach hotza'ah. Hotza'ah ksiv bei kishabas. Ma shabas ad do'avid akira v'hanacha. Af hachinami ad do'avid akira v'hanacha. That's the same criteria of hotza'ah that we have in Shabbos, we also have by Korban Pesach. Psachim daf peihei amid beis. Now, the dinim of melachas machsheves don't lend themselves to be transferred from Shabbos to any other realm. Those are dinim that apply to Shabbos qua Shabbos. The moment that we find that we have we find that Psachim has the same criteria as Shabbos, it means that these criteria are the essence of Hotzah. We're dealing over here with a definition of Hotzah. Without Akira and Hanacha, We don't have hotza'ah. Again, which of them is the ikur, which is the tafel, etc. But it's not a din of it's not a din within melachas machsheves. It's a din within hotza'ah, b'chol ha'torah kula. And b'chol ha'torah kula, there's no din of kedarko. B'chol ha'torah kula, there's no din of melachas machsheves. So therefore, when Rashi says over here, ein derech hotza'ah, he must mean something else. And we find the same phrase in Rashi elsewhere, which will help us. We're also over there. It doesn't, l'chora, it doesn't mean ein kedarko. Look on daf lamed tesem et aleph. It's a very, very well-known Rashi. Well, you just know, my phrase of well-known Rashi means the Rashi that I'm aware of. Okay? It's a very well-known Rashi. On daf lamed tesem et aleph, that deals with the difference between bishul be'esh and bishul b'chama. That bishul be'esh, that's a malacha da'araisa. Bishul b'chama, the Gemara says, is mutar. Amar Rav Nachman, b'chama, where the little aleph is of the Ein Mishpat, b'chama kulei amar apliyei d'shari. Rashi explains d'shari. Why are you allowed to cook in a lot in the heat of the sun? De ein derech bishulo b'kach. So Rashi again uses the phrase of ein derech bishulo b'kach. Now, it doesn't mean, again, that this is a din of malachas machsheves, of eno kedarko. Because for the same reason, we also find the Gemara Sachim that says that in terms of Korban Pesach, we have a concept of Bishul and of Tzli. And over there, there's no din malachas machsheves. So also over there, it deals with Bishul, Bechama, Chametveri. And then, but this is not a din specifically, a Shabbos din. So it's clear that Rashi's concept of Ein Derech means that it's out of the parasha. In other words, we have an Ein Derech, which is Kalach HaYad, and we have an Ein Derech means that simply it's off the wall. Ein Derech, that it's off the table, that it's not in the Ein Derech means this is not in the classic definition of. The classic definition of Hotzah is Akira V'Hanocha, that's Rashi Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The classic definition of Bishul is the Eish, that's Rashi Lamites Amud Aleph. So we have two meanings of the word Ein Derech, and so please don't let the Ein Derech over here throw you off the way to begin to deal with Kedarko and Lo Kedarko. You know, it's just as on Daf Lamites, there's a tshuva of Moshe in Orachayim Chelek Gimel that deals with Bishul Bechama in terms of using a microwave. Is a microwave a problem of Bishul Bechama? So if Moshe begins the tshuva like all of his tshuvas, going through back to the sugya, goes back to the sugya of Daf Lamites, quotes Rashi, and he says, don't think that Rashi means Eno Kedarko. In other words, don't think that Rashi means when he says Eno Derech, he means it's Kalach Haryad. Chas v'shalom. What Rashi is telling us is that this is not Bishul. This is not in the framework of Bishul. So Rav Moshe takes it for granted. So the same way Rav Moshe takes it for granted, we should also take it for granted. And again, I'm bringing you rayos from Maseches Pesachim, both in terms of Bishul. That's the Gemara earlier in Pesachim. Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. So over there, Rashi Dafka is careful to use a different phrase. Rashi says, Lav told us Eshu, Hilkach Lav Bishulhu. When he's talking about Bishul Bechama, Rashi simply uses the phrase Lav Bishulhu. What he calls in our Gemara, Eno Kedarko, on the Memalaf and Memalaf Sachim, he calls a spade and says Lav Bishulhu. So just be aware that Rashi has a terminology of Eno Derech as meaning it's not in the parasha. Okay, with that introduction, yeah?
Says that it's Eno Derech Bishul.
The same way by us we're saying that Eno Derech means it's not Hotza'ah without Akira and Hanacha. Ein Derech means it's not Hotza'ah. Hu Adin Rashi over there, he says Ein Derech Bishul, doesn't mean that it's a Din Malachas Machsheves, that this is Bishul Kalach Haryad. But rather, he's telling us that Bishul Bechama is missing the basic ingredients of Bishul. Bishul, in other words, wherever there's going to be a din of Bishul, b'chol ha'torah kula, if there's a din of Bishul by Korban Shlamim, if there's a din of Bishul by Korban Pesach, wherever we're going to have the din of Bishul, Bishul b'chama is not called Bishul. Period. It's just not called Bishul. Lav Bishulhu. Just that Rashi uses the phrase, ein derech. So just point out that the phrase ein derech, you're going to write a dictionary of Rashi, so then in ein derech you would write klach aryad, and in other places it means eino, in other words, eino behagdarah hamalacha. Simply not. Simply not. This is off out of the definition. Yes.
This reminds us that in the case the Gemara itself is giving when he compares reguf to yad, that in that specific case, if this would have happened, that a person would have done the akira, somebody else would have grabbed him, and done the that would have been patur.
We're not talking over here about why it's aser drabanan. I'm talking about the fact that this is not a ptur of shinui. It's not a din in shinui. There are a lot of reasons why something is patur. But the reason over here is not because of shinui. Shinui is a din which is limited to Hilchos Shabbos. It doesn't apply to Nezikin, right? Adam or the Olam. It doesn't apply to Retzach. It doesn't apply to, if you were to give your wife a ring and put it on the wrong finger, then we wouldn't say that she's not married because there's a shinui. It doesn't apply, b'chola Torah kula, the fact that you do something b'shinui. Ma nafkamina. You could have a l'chatchila, you're supposed to hold the ring in your right hand, and she's supposed to put out her the second finger on her right hand, but if you do it otherwise, you know, you put a ring in her nose, she's still married. In other words, it's not a question over here of shinui changing matters. In Shabbos, we have a unique halacha, melechas machshevas, that shinui is a poter. That's not what we're dealing with in our sugya. Okay. After having said what we're not dealing with, now let's deal with what we are dealing with. We have that Rav has an abaya of Rebbe. Going back to all Rebbe. Rav has an abaya of Rebbe. Akiras gufo ka akiras chefetz imakom odame o dilma lo. Which side of Rav do you think has to be explained? That akiras gufo should be like, in other words, is there one of these two sides which I wake up in the middle of the night and ask you, Akiras Gufo, is Akiras Chefetz, would you answer me in one particular way? Or is this mamish an open question? Or what do you say? Which?
I wouldn't say either one. I don't know.
You have no idea. Okay, fine. Right. Honest answer, yes?
I'd say that it's obvious that it's an Akiras.
It's obvious that Akiras Gufo ka Akiras Chefetz Mimakomo Dami. I would tend to agree with you as well. Namely, we have to explain over here why not. What is missing in Akiras Gufo? Why should it be a problem? In other words, what is Akira? Akira means the Chefetz is moving. My nafkamin if the Chefetz is moving because I picked it up off the ground, or the Chefetz is moving because it's on my back and I'm moving, so the Chefetz is moving. In other words, that over here, l'chora, the bottom line is that the chefetz is moving, and that's going to be the solution to our question. Amalei chayav. However, we would have over here a hava mina that akiras gufo should not be akiras chefetz. What could be missing in akiras gufo that would explain why it would be potter? Rekasha Yitzhak. What if it is the same intention? I'm going to Eilat. I have a backpack, right? So I put my things, the backpack is put on my back by someone else. I can't pick up my backpack to Eilat. Someone puts it on my back, and then I take it to the bus. I mean, clearly my intention is not that I should go in the bus and, hey, what do you know, there's a backpack on me. In other words, the intention is that I should take the backpack to the bus, and the way I get the backpack on my back is by someone putting it on my back. And I'm taking it to the bus. My it's not a question over here, I think, of kavana. My kavana is to carry. But what could be the chisaron over here in Hilchos Shabbos? Yes, David?
I think maybe it'd be similar to the case where if you reach in your hand, someone puts something in your hand, and you bring it out. So you haven't listened to anything up. All you've done is hold it to you. So the same thing, if somebody puts it on your back, you haven't listened to anything up. You're just walking to the next choice.
So one option that David is mentioning is that maybe we don't have over here an act. We don't have over here a pu'ula. Right. Shabbos is a question of melechas machshavos. You have to do a melacha. You have to do an act. And over here, you are not doing an act of carrying, because an act of carrying has to begin with an akira, and so you're missing a part of the act. You're missing the boat. Again, we don't paskin this way. We say, what difference does it make? In other words, the act of carrying is moving it, not necessarily picking it off the ground. But the half a minute would be that maybe moving your body is simply not an act of Akira. We'll see in a minute which Rishonim may take this approach, but what other approach could there be? I mean, L'chora, I'm doing an act. I'm carrying. I mean, it's heavy. It's hard to say I'm not doing an act, but what Chisaron could there be over here? Yes, Rabbi Blech? Let's move off of Yad. Let's move off of Yad a minute. Without getting involved in Yad, yes? That's a din in B'chal and Hotzar. I don't know if there's any less constructive change if something is put on your back than if you pick it up yourself.
Even more so here. Because whereas before we can look at the action and say that it got from here to there and it was at rest here and it was at rest there.
now it never was at rest there, in the way that we, generally.
Okay, so I'd like to take what Asher is saying and maybe give it a more of a halachic definition. Asher is talking philosophy. Let's talk halacha. What Asher is saying, that there's a certain condition missing. Right, so David said, you're not doing an act. Asher said, no, the act you're doing. You're certainly carrying. But there's a condition which is missing. In other words, there may be a condition in Hotzah. We're not going to pass it this way, but there may be a condition in Hotzah which is missing. What condition may be missing?
In order to have a kira, you need to be munach.
Excellent. Very, very good. In other words, that maybe that Hotzah requires moving something from Rishus to Rishus. How do we define Rishus? As a makom. We have a makom, which is a Rishus. So who is to say that one's guf is a makom? Maybe one's guf isn't a makom. Maybe a makom is the ground. So when I take it off the ground, then I have the condition of moving the makom and put it down, the makom la makom. Masha ain kain. If it's on my body, to begin with, we start off with it on my body, maybe that's not a situation of akira. Not because I'm not doing an act. I'm doing the act of ha'avara. It's moving with me. The act is being done. However, maybe I'm missing the akira mi makom, from a certain place. Maybe that's what's missing. Let's test our theory. Okay? So we have two options over here. Either that we don't have the act of akira, or we don't have a condition of akira. And that condition would be a makom. How can we test our theory to know what is the question over here? Can you give me perhaps a nafkamina? Let's look in Tosfos. Look in Tosfos, Yamasil akiras gufo ka akiras chefetz dami olo. Oren? Just a minute. Just read the Tosfos then. Okay, let everyone, I know you know it by heart. Not everyone knows it by heart. Yeah? Okay, that we'd have a parallel question by Hanacha. Does everyone agree that there's a parallel question by Hanacha? Who disagrees? Rabbeinu Shimshon ben Elazar, the Rash Mishans, quoted over here where? In the Tosfos Yeshanim. And in the it's what's brought over here on the side of the Gemara. Vakasha. The little base. Tosfos Yeshanim. Okay, so we have a machlokas between Tosfos and Tosfos Yeshanim, whether Rav's question of Rebbe was a question specifically by Akira, or it's a general question that would apply to Akira and Hanacha. Okay. Now, Avi, what would you say would be the machlokas between Tosfos and Tosfos Yeshanim?
Well, if the issue is makom, so then they would apply on both sides of the equation. If it's just an act of Akira, so then you don't need a makom, wouldn't need a makom on either.
No, it's excellent. Okay, so Avi points out, if we're dealing over here, like David said, with a definition of Akira, who says that Hanacha has the same definition as Akira? Maybe Akira has one definition, and Hanacha has another definition in terms of the pu'ula, in terms of the act. The act of Akira and the act of Hanacha may be two different acts. And so maybe over here, we don't have an act of Akira when something is on your body, but we do have an act of Hanacha when someone is Omed Rafush. Masha'enken, if we're dealing with a condition, we're saying that you need a din of makom, because you can't be going Rishus L'Rishus, unless you have a makom, so you have to have a makom that you begin with, and you have to have a makom you end up with. Then whatever we're going to say by Akira, we're going to say by Hanacha as well. Because it's not a din in Akira, it's a din in Ha'avara. The Ha'avara has to be Rishus L'Rishus. The question is whether a goof is considered to be a Rishus. That's the same question when you begin as when you end. So L'Chora Tosos says that this is a question of... the Tosos over here, the Ramaschil Akiras, that it's hu hadin, that's the same question as by Hanacha. So that would make more sense to say that we're dealing with the question, is there a requirement of makom? Or if you want to, is guf defined as makom? Let's assume there is a requirement of makom. Is a guf defined as a makom? Or is the guf not defined as a makom? That has an afkamina when you begin the Hotzah and when you complete the Hotzah. Masha'en kain, if we're going to understand, no, that we're not talking about makom. we're talking about, do we have over here an act of akira? So yitachein that an act of akira we may not have, but an act of hanacha we may have. Akira is kumva asay, hanacha is shevi al tase. So it could be when you're doing something b'kumva asay, then akira's gufo is not an akira. When you're doing something which is shevi al tase, maybe then an akira's gufo is. And Tosfos Shishana brings a proof that we have a sugya that distinguishes in terms of the act between akira and hanacha. Okay, so this is then we have at least two possible working assumptions in terms of what's the havamin of the Gemara, that akiras gufo lav ka akiras chefetz mimakomo. Yeah?
Is it not possible to suggest that Tosfos is asking a question whether or not you also need an equivalent act from the akira side or another side, and he's focusing on the action?
It's possible, but then you have a question that Tosfos Shem brings a raya, he brings a Gemara. He quotes Gemara later on that we're going to get in the not too distant future. In other words, that we do find that there are differences on the level of the act. So I think it would be easier to learn that it's a question: do we have a sort of a more basic criteria that would apply to both? Yeah.
It has to be that we're saying that it's the makom that's the garden.
I'm suggesting, because that's the language of the Gemara, right? Akiras gufo kakiras chefetz mimekomo. So the question is, are you dealing over here, what's the kaf of adimion? Ki akiras chefetz mimekomo is the chisaron in the level of makom, or ki akiras chefetz mimekomo is the chisaron on the level of the akira?
Okay.
Tosos and Tosos Yishan. Okay, let's look at the Gemara's, Rebbe's answer. Amalei, back to Oren. Amalei Chayav. Okay. Whose Girsa did you read?
Rashi.
Rashi. Okay, this is the Girsa of Rashi. Who has a different Girsa in the Gemara? Tosos, yes, but Tosos, whose Girsa does Tosos have? Rabbeinu Hanana, right. We have, in other words, Rashi, it was the Girsa of the Gaonim that Rashi was aware of, and Rashi felt that it was unnecessary, and therefore crossed out his Gemara, and the editors of the Gemara followed in Rashi's suit and left out Rabbeinu Hanana's Girsa, but Tosfos resuscitated it. Okay, let's read the Gemara Aliba de Rashi. So read Rashi. Eino dome liyado. Just before we read Eino dome liyado, I just want to be meir a ha'ara that Asher Klein was meir to me, and it's a very good ha'ara, but I don't know what to do with it. So I'll just put it on the table. Maybe you'll be able to figure out what to do with it. Read the Rashi. Akiras gufo, Oren.
Akiras gufo.
Sh'okar
es
ragla
min
ha'bayis
ma'akar shenidon.
What two words in Rashi over here, l'chora, are totally out of context? Min habayis. Akira is she'okar es raglav la'achar shenitan. He began to walk after it was already on his back. Min habayis implies that what stage are we dealing with? Not the akira, but the ha'avara, right? That we're going out already. In other words, that we pointed out that generally hotzah has three stages: akira, ha'avara, and hanacha. You start in one rishus, and then you cross the Rubicon, and you end up in another rishus. You need an akira in one rishus, then you have to pass over to the other rishus via carrying, via throwing, via moshit, right? There are all sorts of ways of getting from rishus to rishus, and then you have a hanacha. Okar raglav min habayis la'achar shenitan, min habayis, this is going back to what Yitzhak mentioned, that's his kavana. In other words, he has to pick it up with kavana of moving. But over here, Rashi seems to say, what is the akiras gufo? Akaragov min habayit la'achar shenitan. That he's actually going out of the door. Going out of the door, that's not the akira. Yes?
That's an explanation of the Gemara. The Gemara says, v'hotzien lachutz. Where is he coming from? Rashi's saying, he's put on his back. He's akaras raglav min habayit to go lachutz. He's filling in the blank.
So you're saying that min habayit is his kavana rather than his...
It's what's happening. It's what's happening. It's the case of the Gemara. The case is that his back was loaded. He went out, is he chayav? That's the case. So Rashi's saying, what did he do? He was akiras raglav.
Say there. I hear what you're saying, but that's, you know, goes beyond the, you know, again, we have akira, ha'avara, and ha'anacha. However, the question our Gemara isn't, is not, is ha'avara Sgufo Ha'avara or not, but it is Akira Sgufo Akira. We're still in the Rishus Hayachid. We did the Akira. Rashi seems to say that the question of the Gemara is on the level of the Ha'avara. Why in the world did Rashi do that? Why did he put in those two words? What is... I don't know. I think because it appears from the continuity of the Gemara that we're talking about the Akira. We're not talking about the Ha'avara, whatever.
Can you walk around that?
It's an Akira if you plan to go out. If I pick up the knapsack on my back and I want to take it to the bus, but before taking it to the bus, I want to walk around my house to see if it's on my back well. But my intention is to walk around the house three times and walk out of the door. That's called an Akira. That's an Akira. An Akira is I'm picking it up to take it out. The fact that I walk around my house a few times before taking it out, that's not Mafkia the Akira, as long as my Kavana is to take it out. So the Min HaBayis should be the Kavana. But Rashi appears that Akar Shragov Min HaBayis is the act. La'achar Shenitan. Strange, just pointing out that it's strange that Rashi puts it in. It's not my deed, it's Asher's deed. Do you see it anywhere? Anyone else object that way? Okay, Maharsha Asher, right? Yes?
The words are interesting, because when you look at the words and you say, Akira's Kumbo and Akira's Chayfus, we're always talking about Akira's Chayfus. That's what Akira's Chayfus is about. That's what Akira's Kumbo is.
Right, right.
So is the Lashon is like...
Correct, but Akira precedes Min HaBayis. That's all I'm pointing out. Anyway, I don't know why it's there. Hillel suggests that Rashi should have another Dibur Maskil. When it says Lahotzia Lachutz, so Lahotzia Lachutz, Rashi should say Min HaBayis. Okay, fine. That's fine. But we're missing that Dibur HaMaskil in Rashi. So just pointing it out. I can't fit it into the rest of the sugya. Just being mayor that this is a Ha'ara from the Chabura. Yes. Okay, so let's continue. Right. So again, so they're going back to Hillel. This is the Hotzion Lachutz. Could be. So now let's read the Rashi, where Rashi describes the comparison to Yad and breaks the comparison. Ve'eno doma liyado. Because what do we view the situation where the Balbayas puts something into someone's hand and someone else takes it out? That we have ze'okar v'zehiniach, right? That we view it as ze'okar v'zehiniach. What's the difference whether someone puts something into one's hand or someone puts something onto one's back? We're saying when someone puts something on your back, you're the okir. Akiras gufo, kakiras chefetz. When someone puts something into your hand, he's the okir, not you. Why should there be a difference? Eino dome liyado. So Rashi explains, the yado hilkach. Okay, so we point out this Rashi we're going to neutralize. Rashi is telling us something is missing. But what is missing? Let's see the next Rashi. Gufo nayich. Okay, so Rashi is defined what nayich means. Right, what does nayich mean? And therefore, what's the chisaron in yad? It's in the air. So what's missing? In terms of our, we had a hakira. What's missing? Is what's missing the act of hakira, or is what's missing the makom? What's missing over here? The makom. The makom. When I was here we're dealing with the act of hakira, the fact that I'm taking it from my hand, from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. I'm doing the act of Akira, but what's missing is Makom. I have to take, in other words, that what's missing is I don't have an Akira from a Makom. My hand is not a Makom. What is a Makom? My goof is a Makom. My hand is not a Makom. Namely, the assumption over here that Rashi is like the Tosos Akira's Gufo, right? That I need a Makom. I have to take from a Rishus. And so, when something puts it on my back and I begin to walk, my back is considered to be Rishus HaRabim. And since my back is, or in the case over here, Min HaBayis, my back is Rishus HaYachid. My back is Rishus HaYachid, so I have Akiras Chefetz Mimekomo. My back was a Rishus HaYachid, and now my back is moving over into being a Rishus HaRabim. So I have Akiras Chefetz Mimekomo. But my hand, that's not a Rishus. That's not a Makom. Yado Lo Nayich. agav. In other words, Rashi explains lo nayach gufo nayach agabe karka havi akira. Yodo is not agabe karka, and therefore it's not an akira. Anyway, Rashi didn't have to say those words agabe karka. It could simply said gufo nayach v'havi akira. Then we could have said that when you move your body, that's an act of akira. When you move your hand, it's not an act of akira. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says gufo nayach agabe karka havi akira, and therefore says Rashi. Continue. The Yaseira, he means that it's what? How would you translate if you were translating for art school Rashi? They don't have a translation of Rashi in art school, do they?
No.
Not necessarily, unless he makes it to the footnote. Right? So how would you translate the Yaseira to he? Extraneous, superfluous, irrelevant. Irrelevant. Mainaf gamina, whether yodo, bas, or gufo or not. In other words, that's not our question. Our question is, do we have a makom? So either we have a makom or we don't have a makom. Yodo is not a makom. That's all. The fact that it's eno nayich, that means it's not a makom. If you want to then go ahead and say, because bas or gufo grira, or goth bas or goth gufo grira, that's totally irrelevant. That may be relevant in other areas of halacha. It's not relevant over here. To our question, it's not relevant because all we're concerned about is there a makom? Mainaf gamina if yodo bas or gufo grira. And therefore he leaves it out because it's superfluous, extraneous, irrelevant. So now let's move to Tosfos. My time. So Tosfos over here has two parts. One part is to give his pshat in the Gemara, according to one of two girsaot, and as he offers two girsaot, and then to shoot down Rashi, who had his girsa. Right? We have over here three possible girsaot. One girsa is Rashi's girsa, that we have simply in the Gemara one phrase, gufo nayach yadolo nayach, five words. Tosfos suggests that we only have nira lari kilashan acher. You only have yodo basar gufo greira boyakira, gufo lo boyakira, and then you have the possibility of having both girsaot. And then what Tosfos says, if we have both girsaot, then really one of them is only mefarish the other. Right? In other words, if we're going to have ulamai degaris nami yodo lo nayach mefarish ri haino mishum de basar gufo gorer. In other words, that we have that the Gemara is simply giving us a double whammy. It's simply explaining the same thing in two different ways. Like a good Rebbe would explain something over with two different phrases, even though the meaning is really the same. So let's take Tosfos in pieces. First, since we already learned Rashi, is Tosfos' understanding of Rashi the way we understood Rashi or not? That the Chisaron is one of Makom. That a goof is Makom and Yad is not Makom. Is that the way Tosfos understood Rashi? You can only make 50 go wrong half the time, right? No. Who thinks that that's the way Tosfos learned Rashi, the way we learned Rashi? Who thinks it's not the way Tosfos learned Rashi? Sariel, why do you think? I agree with Sariel. Okay, so take away the metach. In other words, let's read Tosfos. Again, Rashi Piresh, Yodo lo nayach al gabi karka. Mashma. Afilu hu vi yodo b'mokom echad. Simply, very, very simple. This, I'm in my house. My house is bounded by the end of the desk. This is my house, and this is Rishus HaRabim. Right? Someone put something into my hand, and I walk with it out of Rishus HaRabim. Amish Tayyam and Sarabim, what's the halacha? Chaya Rapater, according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, I'm thinking of Rashi. What's the halacha? Pater. Why? Because Yad Lo Nayich. That my, in other words, this is a makom. If I pick it up, if I pick it from the makom, this is an akira. So I put it on my back and I begin to walk. That's an akira because my body is nayich. My body is attached to the karka. I'm a chubar, right? I'm a chubar to the karka, and therefore, when I walk, I am now moving from one makom to another makom. However, my hand is lo nayich. My hand is not attached to the karka, and therefore, if someone were to put it in my hand, so there's no akira. There's no akira. In other words, there's no, on my part, there's no akira, because my hand is not a makom, and I didn't take it from anywhere to put it in here. Maybe zem akar for zem iniyah, but I'm not doing the akira, and therefore I'm pater. That's why it doesn't seem to Rashi. The Rashi's din of yado not being nayef is bein derushus achas. It's irrelevant where the yad is. We have this din of lo nayech eno kekarka.
If my hand was on the floor.
That will come to where does the Gemara deal with someone's hand being on the floor? Not our sugya, but that's study beis amidah. If we're going to get to it, there we'll see that Rashi continues l'shita to. But this is the shita of Rashi, correct? According to Tosfos. Maybe there are other Rishonim who learn Rashi differently. That's why Tosfos understands Rashi. And Tosfos feels that's a very simplistic way of learning. And it's very, very strange. In other words, why it doesn't, you know, it's not mashal that way anymore. Hitino. Hitino means someone put a load on me. Does it say, dafka, he put it on my back, he put it on my head, he put it in my hand? No. Hitino, he put it on me. Might not give me if it's on my back, puts it on my hand. So Tosas, and then Tosas Akasha Rashi from the Mishnah. But that's why Tosas understood Rashi. What's the alternative? The alternative is the Girsa of Rabbeinu Hananeh. Yes?
According to Tosas's reading of Rashi,
yeah.
How would he explain the first Mishnah?
He has a Kasha on Rashi. That's he has a Kasha on Rashi. He says the first Mishnah is a Kasha on Rashi. Boom. I have a Kasha on Rashi from the first Mishnah. But clearly, this is the way Tosas learned Rashi. The Rashi is still, we have a problem over here of Makom. Guf is Makom. Yad is not Makom. That's what the Gemara means by Yad Lunayach. And therefore, Rashi says, whether yodo, bas, or gufo as linan, that's irrelevant, extraneous, superfluous, v'chule. That's not our question. Our question isn't whether yodo, bas, or gufo as linan. Our question is whether yodo nayach or yodo donayach. Do we have a hanacha in the yad? Is this considered to be a makom? Is it a makom or is it not a makom? That's our question. Tosas has the girsa of basar gufo garina. Right? Now, what's Tosas' understanding? What's Tosfos understanding? What's the problem with Yad? So what does the Rishi say? Nira l'ri, t'lashon achir, degaris yador basar gufo gerera, boi akira. Gufo lo boi akira. And even if you have the girsa of yador lo nayech, hainu mishum de basar gufo gorer. The ikar is basar gufo gorer. What's this din of basar gufo gorer? And therefore,
it doesn't do anything. The goof hasn't moved. So
under what circumstances?
When it's in other shoes.
Okay. In other words, that clearly, when something puts something in my yad, we have over here a hanacha. We have over here an akira. We have over here, in other words, this is considered gerushus. That's not the question. My hand isn't just floating in the air. With my hand is part of me. If I'm on the karka, my hand is on the karka, there's no question about that. However, what if I'm in one rishus and my hand is in another rishus? How do I view when someone puts something in my hand, in which rishus is he putting it? Where is he putting it? I'm standing in rishus ha-rabbi. My hand is in rishus ha-yokra. Kitino ha-bed. Someone put something in my hand. Where is he putting it? Is he putting it in Rishus HaRabin, or is he putting it in Rishus HaYakim? That's the question of Yodo Basar Gufo Gorier or not. In other words, that if we say Yodo Basar Gufo Gorier, it means that when he puts it in my hand, where is he putting it? Not in Rishus HaRabin, right? It's as though he's putting it in Rishus HaYakim. And therefore, that's the lack of Akira. We don't have an Akira because we're not, in other words, when I move my hand in, I'm not moving from Rishus to Rishus. It's already in the Rishus. Yada Basar Gufa Garia. It's already in the Rishus. And what's over here, according to Tosas, Yada, it's not a question, is it, do we have a Hanacha B'Makom or don't we have a Hanacha B'Makom? The question is one of which Makom. That we have a Hanacha B'Makom, we have a Hanacha B'Makom. Makom is the Rishus, my body is part of the Rishus, my hand is part of the Rishus. We have a Hanacha B'Makom. The question is which Makom? So that, there, we distinguish between Yado and between Gufo. Yado de Basar Gufa Greira, Boi Akira. Gufo lo Boi Akira. So therefore, in the case of the Mishnah, where the body of the Ani is in Rishus HaRabim, and the hand of the Ani is in Rishus HaYochid, V'nosan Bal Habayis L'socha, Potar Reitana de Masnisen Afro HaAni Shehotzia. Why is the Ani Patur when he is taking it, you know, when he's pulling his hand out from it? Why is he Patur? Because his hand was out the whole time. Because Yado Basar Gufo Garima. That's what the Gemara is telling us. In other words, when the person, the body clearly is in a certain rishus. The question is, where is the Yad? So we say Yado Basar Gufo Garima. So therefore, there's no kasha on Rebbe. From the Mishnah, Rebbe who said that Akira's Gufo, Akira's Chayfetz, is not kasha from the Mishnah, because even though in the Mishnah we have an Akira's Yad, but Akira's Yad is not like Akira's Gufo. When we have Akira's Gufo, then we have a movement from Rishus to Rishus. When we have Akira's Yad, then there's no movement from Rishus to Rishus. Okay, that's the machlokas over here between the Ri and Rashi. So it goes back to a certain degree, we said, what was our original Chakira? What's the Chisara? What's the Chisara? What was the Havamina of the Chisara by Akira's Gufo? Maybe Gufo is not Makom, or maybe Gufo is not a Maisa Akira. So we say, no, Gufo is Makom. Gufo is a Maisa Akira. But Yad, according to Rashi, is not Makom, and according to Tosos, is not a Maisa Akira. Namely, that the machlok, the same machloks we have between Tosfos Yeshanim, we have over here between this Tosfos and Rashi. The same machlokis. We have one Chakira. Rabbi Shlomo Salanto says that there's no simcha like Yom Kippur, so we'll leave this. Simcha, machila, simcha, kapara. Okay. So we have over here two. We pointed out there are two. We have a question in the Gemara. Rav asked Rebbe, Akira's Gufa. Do we say it's like Akira's Chayfetz? Or no? So we said, what does it mean, or no? Why no? So we gave two options. Either because Chaser Makom, or Chaser Pulas Akira. Those are the two options. He suggested that these two options, one and two, that one is Tosfos Dibur HaMasvil Mai? Is that Dibur HaMasvil? One is Tosfos Masvil Dibur Akira. And two is Tosfos Yishan. That if it's a question of Chisaron of Makom, Hu Hadin, you have the same question by Hanachas Gufo. And if it's a question of the Pula, then it's only Din and Akira and Hanacha. This, now we paskin that Akira's Gufo is Akira's Tevetz. According to one, that means that Gufo is considered to be Makom. According to two, that means that Gufo is considered to be an act of Akira. That is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. One is Rashi, and two is Tosfos. In other words, what is the Chisaron of Yad? According to Rashi, even though Gufo is Makom, but Yad's not Makom. Gufo is Makom, but Yad is not Makom. And according to Tosfos, it has nothing to do with Makom or not. The same way Gufo is Makom, Yad is Makom. Our question is, do we have an Akira? So when I move my body from Rishus to Rishus, we have an Akira. When I move my Yad from Rishus to Rishus, there's no Akira. Because Yad of us are Gufo Garir. My hand was always like my body. There's no Pulas Akira. So this is Rashi, this is Tosfos. Okay, and it was the same machlok, the same parallel machlok that we have between Tosfos Yermastil Akiras and Tosfos Yeshanim. We have between Rashi and Tosfos Dibur Hamashlo Mai. This is the, you know, or Rabbi Hanan. Okay? Questions? Instead of going.
Maybe ask the same question. Wouldn't you have to say the amount of shots? Because, in other words, if, let's say if you say, yeah, Yadav was your people, guard. So now when the person Yadav was just puts it in my hand, he's putting it also in my rishus. So he's done the akira and the anacha. He should be fine.
He's done the akira.
And the anacha.
What? But he's in the same rishus.
Then,
what you're pointing out is that Roshus is something which is very relative. Name is Klapav, and it's Klapav, my Yad is in his Roshus. Klapai, my Yad is in my Roshus. This thing of Yodo, Basar, Gufo, Azlina is Klapai, in terms of me, not in terms of him. Not in terms of him. That's the thing we're going to come to later on. In other words, how do we deal with these areas where you have the tree growing in one rishus and the branches going over the other rishus, and you put something in the branches, where are you putting it? Right? You know, it's, we go basar ikar, basar hanof. You know, so that's a separate question. In terms of the outsider, how do we view it as one way? Here we're talking in terms of the insider, in terms of the person himself. So you have a bit of a paradox, namely that mitzad the person who's putting it, in other words, he's putting in a rishus hayochid. Mitzad me, I've always been in rishus harabit. But that's not a, I mean, you realize that there's certainly room to mochalek between his perspective and my perspective. Over here, yado basar gufo azlina, we're talking from the perspective of the ani, not the perspective of the hashia. Yeah?
Is Tosfos mochalek between which rishus your hand is in? Does he say yado?
Sure.
If that's the case, wouldn't it mean that if I would put something in someone's, let's say that I'm one rishus, and someone puts something in my hand, and then I take it and go like that,
then
that not be problematic? Because it's your rishus now. In other words, we don't say other bus or gufo gar when you're in the same rishus. It is your rishus. It's you. It's gufo. So then,
when you and your hand are in the same rishus, there's no question.
And then you move your hand across because you've already, you're saying that kira has to be the goof and not only the hand.
Yeah.
And you're saying that the hand is part of the goof now.
And so?
The hand is part of the goof. And
so it's an open question. We'll have to see. In other words, what is the din? In other words, what Hillel is saying, what if, what's the halacha? If me and my hand, my hand and I are both in the same rishus, and someone puts something into my hand, and then I stick my hand out
right,
like that.
And put it down. Yeah.
What? And put it down.
Right.
But my body stays here.
Right.
We'll come to that. It's a sugya deftalo. Come to it. Yeah.
Where we apply the
sakira,
so the sabbath would be said to read it, it's so simple.
So I'm pointing out that we have Tosfos, and we have, in other words, this is Tosfos Dibur Hamashlo Akiras, this is Tosfos Dibur Hamashlo Mai. In other words, these are two shitot.
There's lots of reason.
There are a lot of reason. That doesn't bother me. the fact that this is the reason, this is the reason. So this is one reason, this is another reason, I don't know. In other words, you're asking, I think, a good question, but I see this as two. As you know, maybe you could learn this machlokas differently if you want to. This machlokas is very, very clear. This machlokas, in my humble opinion, this is simply how they learn the Gemara. Are you standing on the concept of Nayach? Is that the Iker Nayach? Or Basar Yodo Azlina? That's clear. Over here, this is what I think. So it could be wrong. Okay, maybe this is wrong. Maybe there's another way of understanding the machlokas between the Tosfos and Tosfos Yeshanim. Even though it sounds nice. Don't know. You're correct. I mean, it would be neater had it been the other way around. But what can I do? Logically, I see the connection between this machlokas and these 2 days, and this machlokas and these 2 days. Okay. So any other questions on the sugya here? Yes.
How do we explain to us when the case that you're chayav, that when the ani does everything and he sticks his hand is in the rishus yachid? Even though his body's in the rishus harabim, and I understand he does a maisak here because he picks it up, but it's still his. But isn't the hand still?
No. When do we say yado basar gufo azlinan? When the hand is passive. When someone puts something in your hand passively, that's when we say yado basar gufo azlinan. When you take something actively, right, then you're taking from, then clearly you're taking from one rishus. There you have an akira from. In the case where I'm standing here, and I pick it up and take it across, then everyone agrees. I have over here an akira from Rishus HaYochid and a hanacha in Rishus HaRabbit. I have Maisa Akira, but if something put something in my hand, right? So what's my Maisa Akira? The movement of my hand, that's Yodo Basar Gufu Asina. When I'm picking it up off of a place, then that's considered to be, then we don't say Yodo Basar Gufu Asina. That's the Mishnah. Tosus is explaining the Mishnah. Rashi, we have a problem, the way Tosus says Rashi is a scrumian, that it applies both for Rishu Zef and Ashnei Rishu Yos, we have a problem with the Mishnah. Where in Tosus is no problem with the Mishnah. So I mentioned there are other Rishonim. I sent you to the Rashba, who learns Rashba, the Ramban, the Ritva. They all say the same thing. They learn Rashi differently. But this is like the pristine Rashi. Taking this approach, now if we move over to Daf Tzadi Beis, Amud Aleph, then everything fits in very, very deeply. You went through this. You have a chance to look at the sugya, Sadi Aleph, and Beis, Sadi Beis, and Aleph? Yeah. So you saw that there are two questions over there. One is whether Eged Kli Shmei Kli. Then the Gemara moves over into whether we say Eged Gufo Shmei Eged. And the and Eged Gufo Shmei Eged is very, very similar to the way we describe Tosfos of Yodo Basar Gufo Azlinan. So we have the Gemara that says as follows. It's right before the Mishnah. V'hotnan pashat bal habayis es yado lachutz v'notal ha'ani mitocha onosan l'tocha v'hichnis. In that situation, shneihem peturim. So we say that we have over here a case of ze oker v'ze meniach. But the question is, why? Why don't we say, this is according to, Yad Chayav, just a second. According to the Nehid Alav, the Lashmei Eged. We have the case of Pashat Balabayis Esyado Lachutz. And then the Ani puts something in, let's say, takes something out or puts something into the hand. So we say that in that situation, the Balabayas and the Ani are both Peturim. The question is, why should they both be Peturim? Why shouldn't we say that Eged Yad, Eged Haguf Shemei Eged, and if Eged Haguf Shemei Eged, Eged Guf Shemei Eged, so we should say that the yad goes after the guf, and if the yad goes after the guf, in other words, I'm the balabayah. I take an object and I hold it out like this, and then the oni takes it from my hand. So if we say that my hand goes after my guf, where Rashi learned, to make in words of the Gemara there, the hand goes after my guf. So basically, where is the oni taking it from? from Rishus HaYachid. So he's taking it from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. Why shouldn't the Ani be Chayav? Right?
Take super, you haven't said before it's enough. You have to take the klap, you have to separate.
It's not in the other, it's really in his Rishus klap,
yes. So the Gemara gives a different answer. The Gemara gives a different answer. What is the Gemara's answer in this situation? Hasam lemala migimel. When it's lemala migimel, this is Rashi v'shitato. What is my hand lemala migimel? It's not a makom. The Ani is taking it from my hand, but my hand's not a makom. There's no akira if my hand is not from a makom. Hacha, when do we say that there would be a chiyuv? If it's lamata migimel. If it's lamata migimel, my hand is close to the ground, then there's a makom. So when we have my hand being close to the ground, then you have a makom, then an achinami, that would be considered to be an akira. But when my hand is above, then you know, it's not a makom. That's the way Rashi learns. You know, l'shitato. Hasam lamala migimel, the time of mishum delo nach. In our Gemara it says, yada lo naicha. Yod lo naicha, as if it's above gimel. Lo mishum eged gufe. It's irrelevant whether my hand is part of my body or not. It's irrelevant. It's superfluous. It's yisirta. It's irrelevant whether eged gufe shmei eged, because my hand is above gimel. My hand's above gimel. It's not a makom. And we were off on a technicality. Hacha lamata migimel. If it's lamata migimel, leka lamiftere mishum hanocha kemunach dami. Clearly, we have a makom. Then our question is, you know, which makom do we have? We have a, you know, do we say that the yad goes after the guf or not? Both that we have a makom, we have a makom. So where do you have the machlokes? Where is it relevant? Where the yad obas or gufo azlinan? That's when you're lamata migimel. That's where it's relevant, because then we have a makom. Then the question is, which makom? Is it the makom of the guf or the makom where the hand is? However, when it's above gimel, there's no makom. Again, this is Rashi l'shitato. Rashi l'shitato, that the problem is one of makom, of nayach. And look at the re at the end of Tosfos. What does the re say? The re mefaresh, pasam lemala migimel, v'islan lemeimar, d'shmei eged, kedamar perakama, quotes our Gemara, the yado barsar gufo gorir, hacho lemata migimel, lav shmei eged. According to the re, there's no problem with Mako. The question is, do we have an act of akira or not? In other words, when I take my hand and I go like this, in other words, did I do anything? Where is my hand? Is my hand part of my body? Is my hand still in the same rishus where I began or not? That Gemara, Hasan, in other words, by our Mishnah, that's lamala migimel. Lamala migimel, then it makes a difference whether my hand is part of my body or not. It's not a question of makom. It's a question of where is my hand? Is my hand here or is my hand here? Basar gufa lazlinan, alo basar gufa lazlinan. Eged gufa shmei eged. Eged gufa lo shmei eged. However, the moment that it's lamata migimel, then there's no question. When it's lamata migimel, it's on the ground. If it's on the ground, we know where it is. If we know where it is, then that overrides eged gufa shmei eged. So that's, so when Tosfos learns l'shitato, that the question is one of do I have a pula of akira or not. So when it's lamala migimel, I can speak of do I have an akira or not, because the question is my hand separate or is my hand part of my body? The moment that it's lamata migimel, then clearly I have a, I know where my hand is. My hand is on the ground. Lamata migimel, so my hand is on the ground. I can't say my hand goes after my body when it's on the ground. So Rashi learns Lushi Tato, and Tosfos over there learns Lushi Tato. Again, according to the read of Dibur HaMasil Mai. In terms of Sariel's question. But in terms of this Machlokes, Rashi learns on Daf Tzadi Beis Lushi Tato, and Tosfos learns over there on Tzadi Beis Lushi Tato. Okay, so just to summarize, what's the difference between lamala migimel and lamata migimel? According to Rashi, lamala migimel, there is no makom. And lamata migimel, we have a makom. According to Tosfos, we never had a question about makom or not. But rather, lamala migimel, we have a question whether yodo, bus, or gufo aslina. Lamata migimel, that's overridden by the fact that it's on the ground, so we know where it is. We know what reshut it is. The Malam Megimah, we have a question. Is it Rishus Hayachid? Is it Rishus Hayachid? Is it Rishus HaRavim? The Matam Megimah, we have no question. Clearly, where my hand is, that's where it is. If my hand is within three tefachim of Rishus Hayachid, it's Rishus Hayachid. My hand is within three tefachim of Rishus HaRavim, then my hand is Rishus HaRavim. And that's the difference between Lamalu and Lamata. Again, each of them go L'shitato. We have over here basically one Chakira. By Gufo, we have a Hava Mina. This Havamina, this Havamina, this is knocked off by Gufo. By Yodo, we have a problem. So Yodo is either a Chisaron of Mahom or a Chisaron of the Pula of Akira. This is Rashi Nayef. This is Tosus of Bosa Gufo. Rashi's Nayef. Rashi points out, where do you have a Chisaron of Yad? Only above Gimel. Below Gimel, there's no Chisaron of Nayef. Tosus says, where do we have a question whether Bosa Gufo has lean on? Only above Gimel. When it's below Gimel, there's no question. Clearly, the Yad is in the Rishus where it is. We don't go Bosar Gufo when it's below Gimel.
According to Tosfos, when it's above Gimel,
yeah.
and it's not, what is it?
So that's above Gimel, that's our Mishnah. Then we say, Yodo Bosar Gufo Aslinon, and that brings about a Ptur.
Right? Because
when it's above Gimel, it's not on the ground. And so the question is, where is it? So we say that the Yad is Basar Gufo Aslina.
We say it's Rishus Hayachid.
So if the Guf is in Rishus Hayachid, then the Yad is Rishus Hayachid. If the Guf is Rishus HaRabim, then the Yad is considered to be Rishus HaRabim. And when it's below Gimel, that's where the Guf is overridden. We override the Guf if the Yad is below Gimel. Because then clearly, the Yad is, whichever Rishus it is, below Gimel. Below Gimel, it's as though it's on the ground, or it's in the ground. Ara Samichta. That's a din of love. Okay. Everyone's so quiet. You don't understand? Should I repeat it?
So why did you say it's a Malkum
Torah? We didn't learn about Malkum Torah. I don't know anything about Malkum Torah. Still working with Rishus Hayachid and Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara's are bringing Malkum Torah. I'm not going to bring it in. Did you get to the Tosfos on Gimel Midbeis? Okay, so we'll hold off over here. We'll stop over here. What I'd like you to do for, next year will be the Monday, Mirtz Hashem, not Monday, Wednesday. So I'll give you more Marakamas, but at least you can begin over here with Tosfos on Gimel Midbeis, Haya Ta'un, and in the context of Tosfos on Gimel Midbeis, see the Rambam, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Perek Ches Halacha Yud Gimel Ches, right? Rambam Yud Gimel Ches. If you have a Frankel Rambam, you could also look into the Perush Kadmon Mimitzrayim on that Rambam. He simply brings up a factor which I don't know, the question is whether that's Peshat in the Rambam or not, but, that will bring in, Tosfos deals with a situation of where a person picks up something in Rishus Hayachid, and then spends all of Shabbos walking from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus HaRabim and back, keeps going back and forth, and he ends up where he began and put it down. Question is, did he do anything? Did he do anything? He did an Akira Rishus Hayachid. A little dizzy. Did an Akira Rishus Hayachid, and then went to Rishus HaRabim back. Didn't stop. Just kept going back. And it was around and around and around and around, and ended up in the same place. So, the Rambam brings this in the context of Akiras Gufo, Kakiras Chayfetz. And the question is, what does this really have to do with Akiras Gufo, Kakiras Chayfetz? Anyway, this is also Tosfos deals with this issue. So we'll bring that in, and then we'll move to the next Gemara of Amar Abaye, and then I owe you Mar Makomasan, so that will be neder. I'll give you Mar Makomasan. Okay? 7.